So, yes, here we are, worldwide live through BBS Radio, the online radio station. Thank you for those that are joining in online. It is today, Monday, November the 7th, 2016. Another Monday call, and Wynn will be here at the top of the hour, hopefully. And I know he has a special guest tonight. The guest, his name is Bruce Edwin, and he is a Hollywood publisher and PR. So I do not know this person. I have not heard about him. I'm interested in hearing more from him and when. I don't know what the topic is. Time will tell. We are still 5 minutes away from the hour. We have, as usual, every week, also a Wednesday call, same time as Monday, 6 p.m. Pacific. And it's also a one-hour call where you can submit questions per email. And I would not know the email by heart. Let me look for that, actually. It is always in the announcement email, which is being put out on Wednesdays. Yes. The email address for the Wednesday call is questions@intelligent-infinity.com. questions@intelligent-infinity.com.
That email
every Sunday morning,
working again,
10 a.m. Pacific. You're asking for the email address again, Don?
I just want, is it work? It stopped. It wasn't working for a while, so I started using his.
That should be working.
Okay.
You know, we've had a fluke, I guess, where something was wrong with his internet service or something.
Yeah, it was a few months ago or something.
Yeah, they used it recently still, so it should work. Back to the Sunday. So Sunday mornings we do a planetary healing and personal healing. A two-hour call where Wynn, in the first hour, he talks about a random topic. And in the second hour, we do a meditation. We have a live channeling through Terry Brown from our source of him group, and a planetary healing. Good evening and welcome to the conference call. Please say your name and location.
Hi, this is Cecil the Sea Serpent from Seattle.
All right, Cecil, welcome to the call. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, thank you.
All right, thank you for being here.
Hi, Cecil.
Hi. Who am I talking to?
This is Don from Greater Cleveland area.
Hi, Don.
How's it going?
Oh, it's gotten quiet.
Yes, we are only here with a few people. Yeah, only 2 minutes right now. The email went out pretty early.
Probably everybody's out voting, eh?
Yeah. Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Hello, it's Wynn.
Welcome back, Wynn.
Hi, Wynn.
Bruce isn't here, is he?
No, he's not, unless he's the one who's not staying in the background.
Bruce, are you here?
Actually, that person hung up. No, so but we are live on BBS Radio.
We are. How come so early? Okay.
That is... sometimes when they start early, up to 5 minutes before the hour sometimes, yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location. If you want to, we welcome you. Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Joan, Rhode Island.
Hello, Joan. Welcome. How are you doing?
All right. Thanks. How are you doing?
Thank you for being here.
Now, is Bruce Edlin here? Okay. We'll keep waiting. I'm going to...
Yes.
We got another minute to go, right? Yep. No, now
yes.
Seven.
I welcome the person who just got on board. Thank you for being here. Please say your name and location.
This is Sherry, Bozeman, Montana.
Hi, Sherry. Good evening.
Good evening.
Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. All right, Sherry.
I'll be back in a moment. Okay.
Hi, Sherry.
Who's that?
Hi, this is Terry.
Hello, Terry.
Hi.
Hi, Jerry.
Hey, Terry. Hello.
Hey,
hi.
Listen, Don. Yeah. Keep everybody entertained until I come back, would you please?
I think I'm out of my entertainment mode.
Oh, no, even that was entertaining right there, okay? you don't remember
easily,
any jokes.
They're easily entertained.
Mm-hmm. Well, don't worry about results. Hi, this is Lynn and Hives. Would you like to say your name and your city?
It's Chris in Memphis.
Chris in Dormananda. And who's that? Did someone just come on the line? Is that Raiden?
State your name and city. But only if you want to.
Let me see if Bruce is actually coming on, okay? If he
All right.
get cold feet, I'll be right back.
Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Bonnie in Corona.
Hello, Bonnie. Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
All right. More people joined in? I believe so. We welcome you. If you want to, please say your name and location.
This is Suzanne in Columbus.
Hi, Suzanne. Welcome to the call.
Hey, thanks, hi.
Bruce Edwin.
Hello, Bruce.
Hi.
This is Gijs. I welcome you.
This is who?
My name is Gijs. I help with Wynn and greet the people who come onto the conference calls.
Okay.
So here I am greeting you, Bruce. Thank you for being here.
Okay, you're welcome.
And I know that when he was here, he just stepped away to give you a call. So you might get a call from him.
Okay, yeah.
He wanted to make sure that you were aware of the time and everything.
Yes.
All right. Hey, thank you for being here, Bruce.
You're welcome. And I'm going to put this line on hold one moment, but I'll be right back.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
And more people joined in. Talk to the call. Please say a name and location.
Roger in Austin.
Good evening to you, Roger. Welcome to the call.
This is Steve in West Palm Beach.
Good evening to you, Steve. Welcome also.
Thank you.
All right.
Joni in St. Louis.
Hi, this
Hello,
is
Joni.
Hi, everybody.
Welcome to the call.
Thanks, hi.
Thank you for being here.
Hi, Joni.
Hi.
Hello, Wynn.
Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
It is Wynn.
Hey, Wynn. Bruce is here.
Bruce?
Yes, Wynn.
We hear you. Oh, good. All right. I just called you. Did you see your call, your phone ring?
I did, yes. I was on the other line calling your line when you called.
All right.
I tried calling from one of my other phones, but it tried charging me doing a toll call, so I called from the landline, and it didn't do that.
Good.
Yeah.
For some reason, some services I think particularly T-Mobile. Are you on T-Mobile?
I do have that for one of the phones.
Because they're charging people for conference lines.
Mm.
But in any case, let me mute everybody. Okay.
I got it.
All callers are muted and they can unmute themselves. This conference is being recorded.
And this is November 7th, 2016. Wynn in Arizona, Derry in Arizona, Highs in Magalia, California. And we actually have a guest tonight, and his name is Bruce Edwin. And I have been kind of talking to Bruce for about 6 months, would you say, Bruce?
I would say close to that, Wynn. It feels like a long time, but it may be shorter than that, but it seems like years.
Well, we know each other from other lifetimes, probably, right?
There you go.
Yeah. And Bruce was introduced to me by a guy in California. And I told him, Gary, you're in California. You're in L.A. You're in Pacific Palisades. Keep your eyes open for people in Hollywood who I could connect with, because maybe one of my projects will be able to go through. And then he called me back and said, you've got to meet this guy, Bruce Edwin. And initially, when we first talked, I said, I could never deal with this guy.
Well, thank you.
Well, I'm telling you the truth. It's better to, it's better to start out like that than be all overwhelmed and then say, oh, forget this, you know? But Bruce was like doing promotions in Hollywood, and I looked at his website, and he's got all these cute women that he's promoting, and he's kind of like semi-gossipy, like the National Enquirer, semi?
No, I wouldn't. I will argue that. I'm not a fan of that publication, but...
Well, actually, they're getting... Have you been following them recently?
No.
They have been having all... They are one of the few national publications that is actually doing a whole bunch of stuff on Hillary and exposing stuff. And so when people go through the supermarket lines, there is Hillary did this and Hillary did that, you know. And most of what they're putting in is true. As I understand it, there was a point some years ago where they had a big lawsuit from some actress that they had said something about, and that she was suing them for money and for ruining her reputation, and that after that lawsuit, they got very careful about everything they said, and they made sure that they could back it up and stand by it, and so whatever you can say about them. The fact that they have, you can see them in all the newspapers stands at the supermarket, and all their headlines have to do about Hillary. And I am sorry, guys, you know, I'm sorry, those of you that love Hillary. And it's like, this is the biggest political election in the history of our planet. And I may be wrong, but if Hillary wins, it's not about politics. It's just, I hope you read some of the stuff on her, and you're going to YouTube and just look it up and read it. Because I watch people dismiss this, saying you can say anything on the Internet. It's not true. Yes, you can, but either something has been credible or it isn't. And how can you tell if it's credible? How can you tell? Well, you know, like if you have a website that says Hillary is a liar, and she says, like, I approve of gay marriages, and then she's talking to another group and say, I don't think gay marriages are any good. You'll see all kinds of things like that, where she constantly contradicts herself.
But worse than that, that's not even the worst. The worst has to do with, is she taking huge amounts of money from people who would normally be our enemies? Does she have a inconsideration for human life, which she seems to? There's two comments she made. One of them had to do with Gaddafi after he was killed. And then the comment went something like, we came, we saw, and he's dead. Something like that. You know, obviously, total inconsideration for life. And another one was where she was being questioned about Benghazi, which a lot of people hold her responsible for the four deaths there. And they're questioning her. And she said, what difference does it make? They're dead. Four people that are dead. You know? So that's only the tip of the iceberg. And tomorrow's your chance to vote. And I hope you vote where your heart is. But if you at least, I'm going to send my last email out on this tonight, where I'm going to put all the links to all the things on YouTube that I think are credible and why Hillary is such a dangerous person to be in that position. Now, I know people think Trump is dangerous because he's unpredictable and he doesn't always say the right things. See that I noticed, but Hillary is far worse. And, you know, for no other reason, and you have to go on YouTube because this is not in the news, but there are a lot of indications from credible sources that we could be on the verge of World War III. Russia and the United States have been rattling sabers at each other for months. And they're not nice sabers. They're saying, we're going to get you. They're even threatening first strikes. And this is not on the news. And if somebody doesn't go in and talk to Putin, and no one's talking to him, no one is negotiating with him, and he has a case, it's going to be put in the news like Putin is a bad guy and we have to make the world safe for democracy. Ha ha. But Putin is not a bad, from my perspective, he's not a bad guy. And he indicates over and over again, he doesn't want a war. And he just wants somebody to talk to him. Because there's ways that we are treading on Russia's toes, which are very similar to the way they treaded on our toes in the Cuban Missile Crisis. And the common man doesn't even know this is going on. All they're going to do is they're going to make Putin out to be an enemy, and everyone will think we're making the world safe for democracy. And, okay, that's all I want to say about that. Except, Bruce, you want to say anything?
Well, hi, Wynn. You said a lot. I didn't know you were going to jump so quickly into politics, but...
I just wanted to get it over with. I mean, tomorrow's the day, and you know, the people on this line are making decisions. And yes, we never talked about stuff like that for years. We just talked about Elohim and spiritual stuff.
Right.
But you know what? This is spiritual. If what I say is true, you know, it's like this is, you know. You can't disregard 3D while you're here. You can disregard it after you leave, but not while you're here, right? Because
I have very, anyone that knows anything about my history knows that I have very strong feelings about politics and politicians. And having came out of
certain, one particular history class in college, which was very enlightening to me, I discovered that with the foundation and creation of government, with, for example, King Hammurabi during ancient Mesopotamian civilization, he essentially enacted and created the first law code and what we know today as became the establishment of government. And this was based on what is called the divine right to rule theory. Well, that theory was based on his allegation that he was a divine messenger of God or of the gods, and that he, therefore, was the only one qualified to basically enact law as the so-called mouthpiece of God, of the what he claimed was the creator and ruler of the universe. So this was the first foundation, as I'm sure you and many other listeners here know, of government, which combined the nation states and led to, in my view, many abuses of power. And so in my view, essentially, while government, which is theoretically only a group of people, can do good things, it's the people that are doing good. It's not some anomaly of a so-called government that is good. I think by nature, government is an unfair institution. It's even in its most ideal sense of a so-called democracy. A so-called democracy is essentially up to 49% of people not getting what they want and the other 51% getting what they want, supposedly, if it's even carried out in the correct manner that they state that they will. Well, as we know from experience, most politicians don't do what they say they're going to do. And from this American election currently we're having, it's proven that not only will they perhaps not do what they say they're going to do, but they many times cannot even be honest within the campaign trail itself. We've seen countless unethical and, in many cases, illegal activities by at least one, if not multiple, parties. So I'm not a fan, as a kind of anyone that knows me, of politics or politicians in general. It's been said that by one of my publicist friends that Hollywood, that Washington is Hollywood for ugly people. And while I don't think that's necessarily always the case, there's been some good-looking politicians, it certainly has a lot of characteristics of the games of power that Hollywood has, which often are based on greed and power and money being the first priority rather than having that backed by a sense of morality for doing what's right. So I certainly, I don't have a lot of faith in, government per se. Certainly I think America is the least, it's certainly probably the one of the preferred desirable, countries to live in. It's certainly not the least evil of them all. You read persons like Noam Chomsky, who teaches many things America has done covertly. There are things to be concerned about there. So did you have any specific question with any of that in mind or anything else? Or
No, I'm just kidding. It's luck. I'm looking at the Hollywood Sentinel now. And, Bruce has been, as I started to engage with Bruce, I kept looking at his magazine, and I said, he kept inserting things that were really positive. It doesn't mean the whole thing isn't positive, I shouldn't say that, but say at higher levels of positive, where he was trying to contribute to people, how to be successful, how to do auditions, how to
make money. And then there's things like, let me see here, subnormal. Subnormal is one of my favorite sections. Bruce had a magazine years ago. How long ago? Called Subnormal, right?
Well, Subnormal was a, essentially came out of the punk music scene that I was heavily involved in as a teenager. And so it started as a newsletter when I was heavily involved in leafleting and that back in the, probably in the 80s as a teenager, not to date myself. But Subnormal officially started as a fanzine and later became an official magazine. So that started as a fanzine with multiple pages in the late 80s. And took off really, really well. There was myself and a small handful of others that really had a pretty wide following on the international music and alternative scene. There were Subnormal Magazine, Flipside Magazine, Maximum Rock and Roll, later Industrial Nation, Propaganda Magazine, and Comet Bus were probably the biggest ones at the time. So this was before the internet.
Where were you living when you put that out?
Well, I had been living in a small town outside of Chicago called Kankakee, Illinois, and then later moved down to a college town called Normal, Illinois, and thus the name Subnormal was born out of Normal, Illinois.
I see. All right.
So it had multiple meanings there, and then later was relocated to Chicago.
Mm-hmm. So now you're in Los Angeles area, and you have a newspaper called, an internet paper called the Hollywood Sentinel. How did you make the transition from Subnormal Chicago to Hollywood Sentinel?
Well, I have always had a love, I guess what I would say, a love-hate for Hollywood. And I say the hate part in that, you know, I've always been opposed to the, as many are, hopefully, the fakery and trickery and, you know, just shallow mindset perpetrated by Hollywood. The whole fake body and plastic surgery, you know, look and lifestyle. It's I've always been opposed to that. So, but I've also had a love of Hollywood as a mecca of art form, predominantly, naturally, the music industry and the motion picture industry. So I decided as a young filmmaker when I came out of film school in Chicago that if I wanted to really try to influence, was going to influence change and influence culture in the biggest way possible, that the best way to do that would be within the Hollywood studio system or similar to that. So considering that I didn't want to just so-called preach to the converted, I decided to expand, and that's why here I am.
That's very cool. And you've been doing a newspaper. You also have managed people.
Right.
You've done PR for people, right?
Correct.
And also, you just announced that you've gotten on board a project to produce a movie, correct?
Right.
So that's really exciting, right?
Well, thank you. Yeah, I mean, I went to film school. I was initially a music major and then later in screenwriting, cinematography, and directing, but I changed, eventually ended in a program in producing. I realized that to be the top decision maker in a film is usually the producer. So I decided, since I have a publishing background, I put a magazine together. It's a simple translation to put a film together. It's storytelling. And And so I fell into talent management when I came out to L.A. from Chicago. The first job I got was a model and talent scout for a talent agency. And being a fan of artists, which I have always been, it's one of the reasons I started Subnormal. Huge fan of music and filmmakers and just creative artists in general. It's something I easily fell into with talent management. I worked my way up the ranks and then finally started my own company with that, Star Power Management. And so, yes, it was a gradual evolution. And then doing PR, working with all the media companies, record labels, and later film companies with the A&R and PR divisions within those companies, it was an easy thing to learn. So I eventually started doing public relations for different companies and some artists as well.
Mm-hmm. And one of the people you worked with was Michael Jackson's guitar player, right?
That's correct. Yeah, I went to, had the pleasure to go to a party from Andy, one of Andy Warhol's crowds. They were doing a film about Edie Sedgwick from the factory scene that many of your listeners may recall. And so I was at this Edie Sedgwick party about, you know, a film about her, and I was meeting a lot of the Warhol crowd at this party, and there was Brian Ferry I was speaking with 1 minute, and then over next to him was a guy named David Williams. And David ended up, I thought he was either the best con man I had ever met and best liar, or he was the real deal. He told me about a, you know, 50 or more people he had worked with, from Prince to Michael Jackson to Madonna and on and on. And, you know, when you hear these things initially in Hollywood, you're like, yeah, right. But it ended up, it was actually, the yeah, right was real. So I had the great pleasure to become friends with David, and he was an amazing person in every way. He played on Billie Jean, Thriller, Off the Wall, etc., and he was a great person. He sadly passed away 6 months before Michael did.
So, you know, one of the reasons I wanted you to be on is because I wanted you, you know, I would like to see Hollywood do some really positive things for people. And, of course, I'd like to see Hollywood embrace me. And what happened was I kept reading Bruce's stuff. And I said, you know, Bruce will probably like what I do. Not necessarily all the Elohim stuff, but my songs and my movie. He hasn't even heard about my movie, but he's been listening to my songs. And I send him one every so often. And he does like them. I was right, okay? And so you never know what's going to happen. You know, that's this is how synchronicities start. And, you know, you just put things in a soup and keep stirring it and see. Every time you have two things in the soup that are really actually vibratorily beating against each other, you get possibilities and potentials, and you never know what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
So Bruce and I have had this vibratory thing building. I started telling him, you know, I was reading his articles, and I said, you know, I really like that article. I genuinely did. And I said, I like that article. And then finally, it just kept building from there. And then I sent him a song. And I think, is your favorite song so far, Give More Than You Take?
Yeah, I like that one a lot. When one thing that, you know, strikes me about your music, number one, your voice translates very well, but the songwriting, you know, there's one of the biggest weaknesses of musicians is they may have a decent voice or listenable voice, but they're simply just not good songwriters, or they don't get good songwriters. So I consider that, you know, you're definitely a very skilled, talented songwriter, and you have some cool messages to convey.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. And You know what? I'll tell you something. I looked at your website today because I sent it out with a blast. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'll give people an idea of how Bruce writes. Is that okay?
Sure.
So, and I told him I was going to try not to embarrass him. Are we doing okay so far, in general?
Oh, good.
We're doing good. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I said, if I embarrass you, we can. If you want to use it on your own website, you can. We'll just edit it out, right?
It's okay. Yep.
But here we go. Like, here's from Subnormal, the headline, Monsanto, Bayer, and the GMO poisoning of our planet.
Right.
And then on the other section, we go to Fashion Model Report. Okay, we're just going to two sides of the spectrum here.
Right.
Okay. And, No, actually, we're still on the same side in this issue. A Pakistani fashion model was strangled to death by her own brother after she posted a photo online of herself with a Muslim cleric joking about the Muslim holiday of Ramadan,
mm-hmm.
which is considered holy, okay? And then there's how to succeed as a fashion model. Determine your market. Look at fashion magazines and fashion blogs. Find the model with similar height, weight, skin tone, and look as you determine your market, if any.
Mm-hmm.
Be realistic with yourself. And then there is healthy living. Let's see what's in healthy living. There's a naked picture of Alicia Silverstone, right? Isn't that her?
Well, let's clarify. There's no actual nudity shown. This is what's called implied nudity. This is, So.
Well, she's not wearing any clothes, but you can't see
right.
her private parts, right?
No, we don't publish anything like
Right. And then celebration is fast food chain nixes the clown who promotes artery clogging. Can you mainly produce cheeseburgers and nuggets to children? The recent spate of creepy clown sightings has prompted McDonald's to withdraw Ronald McDonald from appearances, and in celebration, a group of custom PETA chickens descended on a Nashville McDonald's today, Thursday, and threw veggie burgers at Ronald McDonald's effigy, hanging under a banner that proclaims, "Never trust a clown. Eating meat kills, and cruelty is no laughing matter." Okay? Okay. And you know what's very interesting, Bruce? Years ago, I used to live in an apartment, a little one-bedroom apartment on Robertson Boulevard, about two blocks north of the freeway. Okay?
Sure.
And it was a little, one of four apartments that was above a storefront, and it was very old. And, I learned the background of it. Is the storefront used to be a bar, and the apartments upstairs was their bordello, okay? So there was a lady across the street from me on Robertson who was a performance artist. And I used to go visit her. She was a really interesting lady. Her name was Rachel Rosenthal. And she was married to Ronald McDonald, okay?
Mm-hmm.
That's why I thought of it, you know. She used to, I think she was still getting residuals to support herself, okay?
Mm.
So, now, you know what's very interesting is I'm going to play a song for Bruce. And then I looked at your website, and the first thing I saw was the Rolling Stones, right?
Oh, sure, yeah.
And I was going to play a Rolling Stones song, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But then I said to myself, I'm better not play it because Bruce might take offense at it, okay?
Huh.
And I called you up before we came on tonight. I didn't get you to answer. So should I tell you what Rolling Stones song I was thinking of playing?
Okay.
Don't be nervous now. Okay.
All right.
Do you remember that old song the Rolling Stones had about a promo man in Hollywood?
No. I mean, I grew up listening to the 60s stuff from my dad's collection, who was, from that time. So I don't recall.
So I was thinking this would be a really good song to play, but it's not totally positive, and it doesn't totally apply to you, but I thought it was cool. And then when I saw the Rolling Stones on the first page of your newspaper, are you ready? You want to hear it?
It's up to you, Wynn. It's your show.
Well, it's our show. Okay? Okay, don't get mad at me.
A short amount of time here, so you know, though. I've got to wrap up pretty
soon. Okay. That's okay. Hang on. Here we go. I don't think you feel sharp. You look sharp and stuck up, okay, which is what he was saying. But are you there? Hello, Bruce? Uh-oh. Calling Bruce? Where'd you go? I hope I didn't offend him. All right. Okay. Well,
hey there, Wynn.
Oh, Bruce. Oh, good. You're there.
Yeah.
Did you hear what I said?
No, I didn't.
Well, I was saying that in that song, I don't know if you appreciated it, but it was kind of funny. But I was saying that I didn't think in the song, Mick Jagger is saying that he's feeling so sharp and a little stuck up. Right? And I said, he's like being the undercover West Coast promotion man. And I kind of said, I didn't really think that applied to you. Okay? So I was worried maybe you would think that. You never heard that song, huh?
No, I have heard it, yeah.
You have heard it. Okay. Listen, you got to go. I want to ask you, I want to finish up on one thing, we'll spend a couple minutes on it, and that is, you obviously have a spiritual orientation, and that it's obvious to me that you are constantly trying to insert something positive, at the same time keeping people preoccupied with some of the 3D stuff of Hollywood, without totally getting immersed in it. And how is it that you developed your spiritual connection and orientation?
Well, I mean, that's a big question. I have always, since I was a young child, realized at one point I had a belief in the spiritual realm, and then I did not. And then I did again, and I'm at the point now where I think that it's anyone that does heavy contemplation in this regard and gives adequate time to explore it, that it's irrefutable. I mean, that a spiritual realm exists, and that a continuation of consciousness, if you will, exists in some manner beyond the death of the brain. So, it's an area I've always been interested in, and I think it is the most important area, actually, in human endeavor and life, and certainly one of the top most important. But I think that's why we're here, or should be here on this planet, is to learn that and to expand and become aware, firstly, that one is a spiritual being, which I try to
subtly, hopefully impart upon people, and then also get them to explore what does that mean and how can they grow with that awareness to be the best representation of that awareness that they can be. I don't know if that answers your question, but...
it does. It does. And, you know, I just think it's exceptional that somebody like yourself, with your orientation, is being able to hold their own in Hollywood. And I just wanted to give you support for being all you can be and being responsible.
And not join the Army.
I'm not joining the Army, but being part of the good Army. I have a poem there.
Yeah.
It's called The Good Army.
Exactly.
Be responsible for getting some positive things out in Hollywood and out into the collective consciousness.
Mm.
And I think you can do it. And making your first movie, it's not your movie. You're making someone else's movie, but you're producing it. But doing that was a great, great big step, I think. Would you say so?
Yeah, well, I think any time anyone can follow their bliss, as you know, my friend Dr. Terry Cole Whitaker and others have said, I feel that's a start. And hopefully following one's bliss is helping others along the way. I think that's a good thing.
Well, I think when you help others, you truly help yourself as well. You create the doorway. You know, a lot of people don't understand the connection between giving and receiving. And in fact, that's the song that you like, Give More Than You Take.
Mm.
It's like, you know, there's the worldly aspect of things, which is where you do something, you get paid for it, or you get something in exchange, and you give something back. And people try so hard to keep that in balance, and they usually fail. And it's never can be precisely in balance. Say, unless you're paying rent, and you pay $700 a month rent, and you pay it, and it's done, you have your place to live in. That's balance. But in relationships, it's very hard. And if you go beyond that, where you're not looking at what you get back, you can easily get taken advantage of.
Mm.
And many, many people do. Somehow, we have to have the wisdom to be able to do this give and take with from a higher level. And that is what I have learned. We've talked about this. Our sources establishes grace. Bruce, before you go, can I introduce you? Can I introduce you to Terry?
Okay.
If she's still here, if she can figure out how to unmute. Terry is the person that everybody loves, who channels the Elohim. There's a really good case for her being a reincarnation of a Catholic saint, St. Catherine, who used to go into a church in Italy and channel. And that book became famous, St. Catherine's Dialogues with God, and Terry is the spitting image of St. Catherine.
Hmm.
And, you know, I asked them in one of my sessions, was Terry ever anybody famous? And I didn't expect them to answer. And they said, look up St. Catherine of Siena. And it was just, it's one of the ways that I started to believe my own stuff, things like that, because... Here they say, look this person up, and she happens to have been a channel. She happened to be going into a church, and she became famous, and her book became famous. And Terry was the spitting image of her. And Terry, are you there?
Yes, I am. I'm here.
I'm sorry I'm talking about you in such glowing terms, okay?
Oh, well, that's okay, because I hit the wrong button, and the phone went off.
I have to say something to you while I was waiting for you to figure it all out, okay? And, you know, I have a friend in L.A., I'll just tell you this, I'll put this out, that there's some really big show in Hollywood now
with a young guy who channels on the show and talks to dead people. You know about that show, Bruce?
No, not what you're referring to, Wynn. I mean, I know at least, two people that are big in Hollywood that do that. They're not necessarily from Hollywood. One is actually a person I've interviewed, British lady, and then another is a gentleman. But they're not necessarily from Hollywood, but who are you referring to? And
I can't remember the show. Well, my friend who does my recordings for me started to take a little interest in what we were doing and listened to some of our calls. And he kept emailing me. He said, "Wynn, what you're doing is really hot right now. You should look at this show. It's the talk of the town." So it's possible, you know, because you see, I don't, if you notice, I don't, who is echoing back there? How come I hear an echo? Hang on
just a
second.
I'll turn it on mute.
Thank you. You know, well, Jerry and I are a very interesting combination because I'm kind of wild and will say anything, and Jerry is pure and holds this energy, and the stuff that comes through her is just amazing. And so you should, amongst all the other stuff that I'm doing, you should feel it. See what we do. Like on Wednesdays, people submit questions, and we ask our sources live for the answers, and it's unbelievable what comes through, okay?
Yeah.
Of course, just put it in your smokestack, so, or your boiler room, I should say. Not the smokestack, the boiler room. Because you never know what you may come across where you tell somebody, you got to meet Wynn Free and hear what he's doing, you know? Because, I can hold a public audience, you know, and Terry can bring through the Elohim and we have questions and answers. Do you want to go? Wait a second. Let me see here. What time is it? 7:49. You have time to let me unmute everybody and see if there's any questions anyone wants to ask you?
Okay.
I think I'm holding you on. You want to go? Tell your girlfriend.
All callers are unmuted.
Okay, everyone's unmuted. Anyone have a question for Bruce Edwin?
Hey, Bruce, this is Chris in Memphis. Hey, I don't really have a question. I just wanted to say, hey, man, I grew up in the Memphis punk rock scene. Reading Maximum Rock and Roll and Flipside, those were like the Bibles of punk rock scene. You know, there was no internet. Flipside was a little more glossy, and Maximum Rock and Roll was a little more political. But I really got a lot of news back then. That's what you...
Yeah, yes.
All right.
Yeah, I heard the first part you said, but thanks for listening. Yeah, I appreciate that.
He grew up in the punk scene in Memphis. Okay?
Yeah, I got that.
And Tana Club. Longest running club at CBGB's. Yeah.
Cool. Been to CBGB's a number of times.
And by the way, Chris is looking for a job, okay? Keep him in mind. If you need an agent in Memphis. Anyone else have anything they want to say to Bruce? Going once. Going twice.
Thank you, Bruce.
Thank you, Bruce.
It's good that somebody's doing something positive in Hollywood. It could be a good medium to put information out. So, thank you.
Well, thank you. I encourage anyone here listening or that listens later to check out our site, Hollywood Sentinel, the new domain. We've revised it this year. The new domain is www.hollywood, and then Sentinel, Sentinel.com. So it's a free site, and it comes out every Monday. We have daily new content on numerous pages.
All callers are muted, and they can unmute themselves.
Free to check that out.
Okay.
Thank you, Bruce,
and thank you. Tell your girlfriend thanks for.
You have a great night. Let's speak soon.
Yeah. Okay. Bye. All right. Now we got about 4 minutes left, And then we are, tonight, you know, we've been doing our planetary healings, and they've been going really, really well. I want to talk a little bit about it, okay? And I'm going in 9 minutes, we're going to cut off this call in about 5 minutes. And then in 4 minutes after that, we're going to call another number, which is our daily planetary healing call. And we have a website, wholeplanethealing.com. Wholeplanethealing.com. It's kind of amazing that I got that URL, but I got it. So, and the number is, let me just see here. I'll tell you what the number is to call. And then I'm going to talk a little bit about how it's been going. You know, the idea of this call is, you know, maybe two or three ideas, actually. And one of them is our planet is in deep doo-doo. Okay? It is. And we have a lot of negative sources that are impulsing the collective energy, the collective consciousness of our planet. And they do it, they put things in the movies, they put it on dollar bills. I mean, it's all over. And this is like our calls are counteractive to the negative. Now, the negative, on one level, has lots of more power than we do. On one level. Except when you bring in our sources, it leverages whatever we do, as some of you understand. And, of course, we are bringing in our sources on our calls. They're here now. They pay attention to what we do. This is like a big shot for them and for us, because as I see it, this is a pure connection with the most powerful source on the other side that can impact our realm. And we have the responsibility or the opportunity to bring it in. And I'm not doing this because I want to. It's like I don't even want that responsibility. But I got it, okay? And so it is what it is, and I need your help. I need you to come to these calls. I need you to tell people about it. And as you might have discovered, this is like one of the hardest things to talk to other people about. So we're going to keep these calls to the best of my ability, non-denominational, okay? Not that we are a denomination, because we're not a denomination, but we have a cosmology, and instead of putting the cosmology first, which is what I've always done, read my books, come to the calls, hear about the Elohim, hear about the Ra, put the energy that comes in on these lines, let people experience that, because that feels very positive and uplifting, and then they can discover the rest. Plus, when you do that, when you put the energies first, people are making a difference regardless of whether they understand it. You know, the idea is I don't have any shtick. I don't want people to be my followers. I don't want people to believe in the Elohim. I believe that we have been lifting our vibrations, and we've been learning how to do it. And we've been doing it now for years. And we have people that have been coming to our calls for years. This is like turning around, taking our lifted vibration, and facing it into the world so that other people can get lifted. And you know, instead of being inward turned, which sometimes it gets, where everyone's just talking to each other, to do a short planetary and personal healing thing. And it's still at an experimental stage because I don't know how to do this stuff. I learn as I go. And so I'm still learning, actually. But we're going to start inviting people. I'm going to put this on certain lists, and I want to see if it's the right kind of venue that creates a buzz or not, okay? I don't know. But you don't know until you try. And, you know, I was looking through, you know, when we first started talking to the Elohim, they were telling us what they did. I said, how do you interface with this realm? And they said, well, we project love light energy into the realm. I didn't understand that when they said that, okay? Then later, Terry and I were talking to them, and I just found a really interesting session we did really quite some time ago. It might have been 2003, 2004. And I thought I'd just read it, and then we're going to jump to the other line.
Did you find the phone number, Wynn?
I did. Let me give the phone number to the other line, okay? It is 712-770-4340, 712-770-4340, and the code is 250513. And Heise, if you could get on that line, I see somebody already got on it early. Just go say hello to them for a couple of minutes, even if you don't stay on the call. Or Colleen, if she's there, she can do it, okay? But somebody get on the line just so for the next minute or two. So if people are coming in, somebody, they don't just reach dead silence because somebody's there right now, okay?
Okay.
And thank you. And so I'm just going to read this and then I'm going to go over there. Elohim, this is between me and Terry. We're just having a conversation between the two of us. They say, however, in our realm, it isn't hard work to create a vision that creates an outline for something to manifest as it is filled with energy. It happens effortlessly and quickly. It is a flash, a joy. It is like an artist at work. Okay, do you get what they're saying? Isn't that amazing? They create a vision that creates an outline for something to manifest in this realm. So then I asked them, could you create an orb in our room in a flash? And they said, we don't create the small orbs, the kind that many people see in photos. Who you are talking to now has a very large space. When? I felt the space change in the room when I made that request. Elohim,